Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And we have an update, Christina. I now have Wi-Fi at home.
We are all very happy to hear that.
You know, there was a little bit of an incident yesterday. Had a two-hour window for the Cox cable person to come. They did not come, no phone call. And then they showed up at the guard gate in my community and did not show ID and had to go. No one called. That's what I was most upset about. So I may have called them and yelled a lot. And the guy I spoke to was awesome, by the way, the rep. And he was totally understanding and apologetic. And then I tweeted about it. And lo and behold, I had someone come to my house later that evening. So we resolved everything. I explained to them with the TV setups and all that. I needed my Wi-Fi. So I'm happy, and hopefully the listeners, who I respect and appreciate everyone giving me constructive feedback, like, hey, you know, big fan of the pod, but can you fix the Wi-Fi, your audio, blah, blah. And look, there's no one throwing shots. I think it's just straight communication. So I've appreciated everyone chiming in. So hopefully this has been resolved. Obviously, we don't have a top-notch studio like we normally did pre-COVID. So hopefully everyone's rolling with the punches. Rolling with the punches. We'll be doing that with Murray coming up momentarily. Just a reminder, the Wednesday pod, we did college football with Paul Stone. Always fun to get his insight. We broke down some of the top SEC games and also the Red River rivalry and some of other picks by Paul. And then also Matt and Lou for some UFC. That was a deeper dive on all that. So that's yesterday's pod. Today, we're doing NFL with Mr. Executive Director.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Kicking is most certainly for losers, and we continue to see instances of this. And for that, we bring in Mr. Executive Director. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm better than Bill O'Brien. I saw they finally yanked the plug out of the wall there with Coach O'Brien. I think there's a few more coaches that should be following him out the door here soon.
Yeah, Adam Gase. Surprisingly kept his job even after not going for it. I had money on the Jets, and I 6 minutes to go, I wanted him to go for it on that fourth and half a yard or whatever, but nope, can't get that. So we have to, you know, just deal with these coaches. But before, let's get into the NFL in a moment. I want to talk about the NBA. Yeah. A few days off now. So tomorrow is game five, and LeBron is one win away from picking up his fourth ring. Now, I know you guys had mentioned in other books too about the liability on the Lakers. They were the biggest, you know, just ever since they got Anthony Davis last summer, there's been a steady stream of Laker money. Obviously, Clippers got into the mix too. Where do you guys stand now with the 3-1 lead?
You know, there's always Lakers money, and then they get Anthony Davis. And then if you think back to the summer of 19, we also thought they were going to get Kawhi Leonard. And the Lakers got down to where they were maybe even money or just more than even money because we thought Kawhi was going to go there as well. And people were betting the Lakers like that. So we have a pretty big liability on the Lakers here. We'd like to see them win Friday night, though, because we win on Lakers in five, the exact series result, Lakers in five. We lose on Lakers in six, and we lose a lot on Lakers in seven. So we figure we might as well just get it over with Friday night in game five. I don't think Miami can actually go and win three games in a row against this team. I know sometimes it looks like the Lakers can't throw the ball into the ocean on three-pointers, but I still think they'll manage to pull off one out of three games against this Heat team.
Yeah, you would think it's a foregone conclusion on that front. I'm surprised. Yeah. So you guys must have taken Lakers in seven money. Is that why you're staying?
Yeah, we took I think when it was 2-0, if I remember that correctly, when it was 2-0 Lakers, we had guys betting, taking the long shot price on Lakers in seven, Lakers in six. And we do get beat up pretty good to Lakers in seven. And we're already losing enough on the Lakers in the future book to begin with. So we, like I said, we just assume get it over with Friday night.
So that's my question. I always wonder this, and I've been asking you a million questions over the years, and I still don't know the answer. So you guys are liable to the Lakers, but overall, because of all the other teams, you're still going to win money on the futures market.
No, no, we're gonna lose on the Lakers. We're gonna lose. We'll be a pretty big net loser, and that's something that really doesn't happen that often because you know you're right. Usually, you've got a nice hold percentage on these futures pools. You almost always win something. I mean, really, if you just break even or win small, it's very disappointing in a futures pool because there's a lot of money in the pool and there's a high hold percentage. But the Lakers is going to be one of those exceptions where we're going to take a pretty big loss on this.
Okay, so that's certainly interesting because I know, like it was like the Golden Knights, you guys were able to lay it off a couple of years ago, and it was you know the 29 other teams you collect on. So even the 29 other NBA teams you're collecting on, you're still going to lose. That's interesting. What you know, we talked before the series briefly. I warned you, Mr. Director, Mr. Executive Director, I should say. The LeBron MVP number was real low. It's real low.
Yeah. No, it looks like you got that right because I think AD struggled a little bit in game three from what I saw. And LeBron turned it on in the fourth quarter in game four. And certainly you got to think right now LeBron is very, very likely to win his fourth NBA Finals MVP with a win tomorrow night. So a good call by you there. We do okay on that pool. It's not a pool we had a particularly large amount of money bet into, but we do win a small number on LeBron James. And certainly, unless something really bizarre happens in game five, you've got to think he's going to take home the MVP. Deservedly so. LeBron, such an incredibly consistent player, and obviously the guy most responsible for this championship if they win it. Although Anthony Davis is right there with him as just another truly elite player.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting discussion because AD, I mean, his defense has been outstanding and they lost the game that he did not play that well in. So that's almost like a feather in that cap. I just felt it would be so hard not to see LeBron get the MVP.
LeBron really sets the table for everything these guys are doing, including Davis. As great as a player as Davis is, great of a player Davis is, excuse me. LeBron's the guy. He's the engine. He sets the table for that whole group.
Well, in 2007, I took a position when they played LeBron, the Cavs, and swept him. I took Tim Duncan. It was like pick him, I think, I want to say, for MVP. Yeah. And Tony Parker ended up winning, which was outrageous for anyone who watched the series and stuff. His numbers were there, but it was I got robbed, but that's the risk you take when you don't take the favorite in the series price. Anyways, I hope people jumped on -150. I hope people jumped on -$2 even after – game one, I thought that was the best play. Once game one, with the injuries, you got more confidence the Lakers are going to win the series. So,
give Miami some credit. I was just going to say, give Miami some credit. They've really hung in this series. I know they're down 3-1, but they've made the Lakers earn this. And that's been without Dragic, without Adebayo for most of the series. I give a lot of credit to Eric Spoelstra. I give a lot of credit to the Miami Heat players. They've made the Lakers earn this title. I know they haven't won it yet, but they've made the Lakers earn it. With a very banged up roster, and they deserve a lot of credit.
Well, right. I mean, it's 3-1, so it's a commanding lead, but Heat were down 2 with 3 minutes to go. Butler had a short corner 3. He misses. LeBron gets the rebound, leads the break. KCP corner 3. And instead of down 1, Lakers are up 5 with 2:40 to go. And that was the game. So this could very easily be 2-2. I actually like Miami a lot plus the 7. Now, LeBron's like 18 of 19 closeout games. I just think what the Lakers did in game four, the intensity on defense, fighting through all those dribble handoffs to Robinson and Hero and even Butler. I just thought it was excellent, excellent team defense. And there was a sense of urgency on the Lakers that you get off a loss that I'm not sure you're going to get off a win with a team up 3-1. So I would look to the Heat plus 7.
It could help the Lakers having this extra day off. And usually in the playoffs, you have these long breaks, and they haven't really got that this year, which you would have thought would have hurt the Lakers because they're an older team. The NBA playoffs haven't been nearly as spaced out as they normally are, but this time for Game 5, they do get the 2 full days off. So I think that should definitely help LeBron and some of the guys that are more veterans on the Laker team. Miami's a much younger team than LA, obviously.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I wish I had sniffed it out with the Lakers having four out of the last seven, playing four games in the last 7 days, including game four. That was that was my bad on that, because the under was the nuts play on that. So, all right, so we got at least one more NBA game, and NFL returns tonight. The overs continue to cash, even though you guys had seven or eight games in the 50s last week. Overs continue to cash. 8-5 by my calculations last week. Could be wrong there, but definitely more overs than unders. Again, it's now 37-24 to the over so far. How are you guys handling? Are you just getting an onslaught of over money?
Well, you're setting the totals higher would be the first thing you do. Yeah, we're getting an onslaught of over money. It really only hurts you big time when it happens in these primetime games. And I think we talked about it last week, how that the Chiefs-Ravens game, week three, going under, kind of saved our week in a lot of ways. But, yeah, when these primetime games, when a high-profile primetime game goes over like Green Bay-New Orleans, the Sunday night game that week, we got crushed on that game. But all you can do is raise your numbers up, and I'm looking at it right now, and I see a whole bunch of 57, 54, 55, 54 and a half. These are not the NFL totals that we grew up knowing.
I misspoke a little bit. The stat I gave was prior to the doubleheader on Monday. So it's actually both those games went under. So 37-26. So still above, but last week was 29-19. So you're looking at 8-7 last week. So not as much of a
bloodbath. I forgot those games went under too, because we got crushed on Monday. Because Monday you had the Packers covered, the Chiefs covered. And then we lost both baseball games that day, too. I think it was the Yankees and the Astros game ones of the ALDSs, or ALDS, I should say. We went 0-4 that day. The book got clobbered. So the totals didn't bail us out that day, unfortunately.
So more so, I want to follow up on that Patriots game. So the game rescheduled from Sunday to Monday. And I know every book's different with fine print in terms of action versus a game has to be played at the same site on the same day. How are you handling these COVID relocation or postponements?
You know, we talked about it in the summer before when we reconvened after the casino closed briefly. And we all decided the best way to approach the NFL regular season was to just say action whenever played. And we've got on our sheet, game must be played by 8/1/2021 for action. So we're pushing all these games down the road. We hate refunding bets, man. We want to have action on all these games. So that New England-Kansas City game, obviously we closed it when we heard about Cam Newton. It was reopened as a Kansas City, an 11-point favorite, and it was action. Even if you bet it before the Cam Newton news, you had action on the game. So we want to make sure we're taking bets on as many games as possible. The last thing we want to do is have to refund stuff.
Okay, so action, got to hit it off Frankenstein's foot. Play it as it lies.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I said I thought that the number overreacted a little bit, or the market overreacted a little bit. And New England had every opportunity to cover that game. The Honey Badger pick six was the nail in the coffin. I thought there was a questionable call there in the first half that went Kansas City's way. So I think the final score of that game was a little bit misleading.
Questionable. They called an incomplete. The ball never hit the ground. So was it forward progress in the grasp? I mean, remember that Titans-Chiefs game. I think the ref that was in the game was also the ref on the broadcast for Monday for CBS. Yeah. But what? I mean, look, I had the Chiefs in my pick'em league. I needed Kansas City, and I'm sitting there just laughing at how egregious that call was.
I hear you, but, you know, as a sportsbook operator, I got to keep it PC. I can't be going below the belt. So for official purposes, I'll call that a questionable call.
Fair enough. What do you did you enjoy last Thursday, your boy Jerome, getting a lot of FaceTime in that Jets
bracket? Yeah. Ed Sammons told – I didn't see that game, but Ed Sammons said he thought what happened was they told him at halftime, like, hey, Jerome, enough already. Because I heard he was just throwing flags left and right in the first half, and then he kind of pulled back in the second half, which is funny. But, you know, he likes to be the star of the show. He's not the only one, by the way. All right, Boger's not the only ref that's trying to be the star of the show out there.
No.
That was Ed Hockley's thing when he was still an NFL ref. He was the best.
Is there anything better than his son being as jacked?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, those guys, they love to be I've noticed John Hussey has a little bit of that in him. He'll try to get some shine. But, you know, that some of these refs, it's like they think we're all watching to see them for some reason. But I heard Boger was very busy in the first half.
And we're seeing in the NBA, the fact that Scott Foster's like trends on Twitter is a whole nother story. All right, so Tampa Bay, Chicago, this number's come down. I would imagine it's the injuries. Godwin not playing. We're not sure about Evans. He was gimpy last week. Could be a lot of Gronk and Cameron Brate tonight. And this number's down from 5.5 to 3 at some places, including your shop.
Yeah, and you got O.J. Howard. He's out for the season with an Achilles injury in addition to the players you mentioned. Leonard Fournette downgraded to doubtful. Tampa Bay very banged up offensive skill positions right now. The Bears are a team. They're coming off of just a terrible showing on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. Public is all over Tampa Bay, but you're right. The line is coming down because of the injury report for the Buccaneers.
So this is reverse line movement?
It is and it isn't, because it's not like the number's coming down because of so much sharp action on Chicago. The number's coming down because all these Buccaneers players are hurt.
Okay. And they're still they're betting 4.5, 4, 3.5, 3. Well,
yeah, the public doesn't really follow the injury report too closely. They see that Team A is favored and they say, give me Team A. So it's not deterring anybody from betting on the Buccaneers, but we're certainly noticing all the guys that are out for Tampa Bay. And that's why you're seeing the number come down a little bit. We even were telling our guys this morning here to stay to the low side of it and book it to need the Chicago Bears tonight.
How about Anthony Lynn? About 30 seconds to go, 45 seconds to go before half, runs a draw, fumble. I mean, we've seen this. Like, why don't they just take a knee?
Well, the Chargers are a team that they could very easily be 3-1. I thought that they could have beat Kansas City very easily in week two. And that game against Tampa Bay could have gone differently based on a few coaching decisions by Anthony Lynn. I can't explain it.
I tweeted Sunday morning, I go, and Murray, this is something you and I have talked about a long time ago. It's just like you, I said, I probably should just open 50 teasers with Tampa Bay and then close them throughout the rest of the season, just small, you know, little, I'll take Tulane plus 13, you know, just fill all these teasers up the rest of the season.
Yeah, and, I don't know.
I may or may not have done that. Like
I'm glad you did, if you did, and I'm happy for you, but I don't know. I probably would have said that there would have been a better spot, because I'm still not totally convinced of how good Tampa Bay is. I know they had a nice win over Denver in week three. Denver's such a banged up team. And then the Charger game this past week, that really could have gone either way too. Anthony Lynn with some, I'd call them questionable. Let's say questionable again. Questionable coaching decisions. So, but I am glad that you won. I'm not hating on that.
Yeah, I was stunned. I thought the Chargers had no chance. I thought there was no way they're going to win the game. And, you know, in four quarters, they did not win the game. But they looked better. I think Herbert's looked better. I thought the KC game was sort of fluky, just given the sandwich spot for the Chiefs. But Chargers are a little friskier than I think, and thought, and Herbert's a little friskier as well. I will say this, some fun trends, and I just literally, I think they're fun. Chicago, after a loss last year, 1-7 ATS. Tampa Bay in October over the last 4 years, 1-10-1 ATS. So
the Bears are not as bad as they looked on Sunday. You know, I was the first one to make. Well, I know. I was the first one to make fun of Chicago's 3-0 record. I thought it was a fraudulent record, but they're better than they looked against Indianapolis. We'll learn a lot about the Bears tonight, I think.
And we'll learn about Tom Brady, too. I think 25-1 to win MVP is not that crazy. That translates to 3.8%. So if you think 3.8, he has a better than 3.8% chance to win the MVP, I don't think it's that crazy of a bet. I think all the other favorites, I think you cannot bet at this point. Last year, Mahomes was minus 200, so just put that in perspective, and obviously he did not win it. But you're looking at Russell Wilson plus 190, Rodgers like plus 350, I mean, Josh Allen 12-1. I mean, I just don't think there's any – with this one-way betting market and the index betting, I just don't think you can bet anyone but like maybe Brady 25-1 right now.
problem I'd have with that bet is you've got so many quarterbacks having exceptional seasons. For me, it's hard for me to see Brady leapfrogging all those guys. I mean, Josh Allen's not going to win the NFL MVP, but even he is having this just exceptional season. You've got these three elite quarterbacks at the very top, Russell Wilson, Mahomes, and Rodgers. It's just hard for me to picture anybody jumping over all these guys.
Very fair. I think it's going to come down to a quarterback as a one or a two seed. I think the NFC North is sort of deteriorated a little bit since we thought going into the season Minnesota's not as good, Bears aren't as good, even the Lions aren't as good. So yeah, it could be just Aaron Rodgers lights out. And then Russell Wilson, who I was saying bet plus 650. I know Preston Johnson on Daily Wager was saying that. He's the favorite plus 190. So I don't know. I think you can make a case for Brady going into a TV game like this, because I think the Saints are not that great. And I would say that they have a, you know, chance to win the division. They just got to get healthy. All right, that's enough.
It might it could really favor Russell Wilson, that his defense is so bad that he has to have these electrifying games week after week for them to win. Seattle is such a bad team defensively. Their secondary is awful. They need Russell Wilson to do this almost every week. So that's why I kind of like Russell Wilson over the others.
Even at plus 190. I mean, obviously I think he's going to win it, but I don't know if I'd get 2-1 at this point.
Right. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, no, but you're right. Seattle's past defense ranks like dead last in several categories. And we'll get to the Seahawks. I think they're a good teaser opportunity this weekend. But let's go down on the card. Dan Quinn, still employed by Atlanta, and they are favored against a Carolina team that I'm on. And I missed plus 3, and I'm annoyed, but I still think plus 2. Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, 18-4 ATS as a dog. I hate myself for taking Arizona. I'm going to take them again this week. But I think – without the McCaffrey, I think the team just is effective. Bridgewater is effective. I think they're well coached, and they're a good team.
I love Matt Rhule. I love Joe Brady. Carolina was a team I said to watch for later in the year, maybe next year. I didn't think they'd be able to implement everything this quickly. Carolina could be a good teaser option. You can go over 3, over 7. Mm-hmm. Take the Panthers plus 8. It's a very high total game. Don't usually recommend doing teasers and games with this high of a total. But now that it's 2020, I guess every NFL game has a really high total. So what are you going to do? I'd look at Carolina teasers there. Most of the money here has been on the Falcons. We took some money on Atlanta minus 2. Looks like we'll need the Panthers, but I don't imagine it being a really big decision.
You got an 0-4 team laying points to a team that's at least 500. That's a little alarming. I think the Falcons are obviously explosive at times. That defense, that secondary is really bad. Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders at the Chiefs. Chiefs have a million games in like a 10-game stretch here. All four Vegas Raiders games have gone over the total. Chiefs, kind of a ho-hum effort. We touched on at the top of this portion. They're laying a dozen here to the Raiders. So I guess the Raiders are the same power rating as the Patriots with Hoyer?
I would make the Patriots a little bit better, even with Hoyer than the Raiders. But, yeah, I think you can excuse Kansas City a little bit for a ho-hum effort. They just had that great win over Baltimore in which they looked awesome. And then their game gets postponed a day because of COVID concerns with Cam Newton, I should say. So you can excuse Kansas City for maybe not giving their biggest effort on Monday night. We pulled this game off the board briefly yesterday. We put it back up this morning. I will say that there's been a lot of movement on the total. We were as high as 59 on this total. Now we're all the way down to 55. So a lot of movement on the total, not a ton of action on the side yet.
Interesting. Okay, so you've got some movement there. Your Washington football team has made a quarterback change. Based on power rating, any difference between Haskins and Kyle Allen?
I would probably say Allen is a little bit better than Haskins, if anything, but Kyle Allen's not. I mean, didn't Kyle Allen, wasn't he one of the reasons that Ron Rivera got fired in Carolina last year? I don't know that he's somebody that's going to really come in and improve the team much. You know, this is already setting up to be one of our biggest needs of the 10 a.m. games. Everybody's betting the Rams, of course, and nobody looking to bet on Washington because they're awful. So the books are definitely going to need the football team in this spot for sure. A lot of teasers. A lot of money line parlays with LA.
Am I crazy to think Washington at 11-1 could win the division?
It's not that crazy because you've got – look, Dallas is the best team in the NFC East, but they're coached by Mike McCarthy. You know, if you need if you need an idea of what I think of Mike McCarthy, just look at Green Bay. They've gotten measurably better across the field since they got rid of Mike McCarthy. Philadelphia's got the best coach. I like Doug Peterson, but they can't stay healthy. And I don't know what the Giants are doing. It's almost they're pulling the Costanza. It's like they're trying to get everybody fired. I don't see why Washington couldn't win the division. I probably would need a little bit more than 11-1. That division is so bad. And Washington has so many good players on defense.
They have the best front four in the division.
Sure. Oh, they definitely do. But I still think ultimately that Dallas's talent will win out in spite of Mike McCarthy.
I do too. I don't know. Let's move it on. So the Houston Texans do move on as well. Romeo Crennel back in the head coaching position. So the Belichick tree continues, at least for the short term, in the interim phase with another disciple. Crennel goes. Teams that replace coaches midseason are very bad in their next game, ATS. 14-22 following the firing. That's since 2000. I've been saying all along that there's going to be opportunities to bet on Houston given the ridiculous schedule start the year, but I don't know. I want to lay 6.5 to Minshew.
Yeah, I wouldn't be in a rush to bet on Houston. It just seems like the organization's a mess right now. There are reports that J.J. Watt got into a fight with Bill O'Brien last week at practice.
Verbal fight.
You're right. I should clarify that. I wouldn't like O'Brien's chances too much in a physical altercation there. I laughed, though. I got to admit, I laughed when I saw that they were replacing him with Romeo Crennel. That, to me, was very funny. It's amazing how these Belichick disciples just get chance after chance. I mean, how many times can these guys prove that they're not qualified to be NFL head coaches? A lot of them are very successful coordinators, and Romeo Crennel is certainly one of those guys. Josh McDaniels is a very successful coordinator, but how many times are these guys going to show us that they can't be NFL head coaches?
I think Crennel was that Browns team that had like 10 or 11 wins but didn't go to the playoffs, that had Josh Cribbs returning punts. It was like Derek Anderson was the quarterback. Wasn't that Crennel? It was like such an exciting team.
Yeah, that might have been. I remember him more when he got that. He was the interim coach at Kansas City, and they went 2-1 in their last three games, and then they gave him like a full year, and the wheels just came off. Houston is a team. Houston's not an 0-4 team. They've just played an extraordinarily tough schedule. There are good players there. That could be an appealing job in the offseason. The problem is they don't have a first-round pick. They already shipped it to Miami for Laramie Tunsil. That's going to be tough. But they have a franchise quarterback, and those are so hard to find. So as long as you've got Deshaun Watson and he's healthy, you've got a shot.
Teams with 0-4 or worse records when laying at least 5 are 10-0 outright in the Super Bowl era and 7-2-1 ATS.
Wow.
Doesn't happen very often. Yeah. It happened last year. It's only happened twice in the last 10 years. Last year, you know what it is? Washington against the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, right.
They were 0-5 late. Remember that game? They were 0-5 laying 6.
When the Dolphins went for 2 to make sure that they lost and Washington was too dumb to recognize what was happening. That was a classic NFL encounter there. Not a lot of money on this game, all seriousness. It looks like it's going to be the least bet game of the day, I believe.
So I skipped a game in terms of the rotation. Denver at New England. You guys have a lineup not many other books do. Take us through the uncertainty surrounding this game.
Well, we actually don't have a number up. We did have a number up. We pulled it down. This is one of the games we left off of our super contest card because we think there's at least a chance that this game will get postponed. We decided if it sounds like the game might get postponed, we decided to leave it off the super contest card just to kind of I'm not saying this in a funny way, just to kind of prevent people from hurting themselves by playing a game that just gets postponed. we just thought it'd be easier for the guests that way. We left it off the card. We did have a number up on this game. We had New England 10. We went to New England 11 off some money. I hope the game gets played, but I'm not sure because I heard that the Patriots practice facility was closed yesterday. It's closed today, Thursday. I remember reading the same thing about Tennessee last week, and obviously that game got postponed.
I believe I read Gilmore went to lunch or dinner, I think, with Cam Newton. So that's maybe why he could have tested positive and not necessarily just hanging out on the team or whatever. If you're worried about the short rest, Belichick, since the last couple of years, 10-0 ATS when he has short rest, fewer than 6 days.
Belichick's got some pretty impressive ATS numbers. I'll say
he does. Intriguing game. The undefeated Buffalo Bills against the undefeated Tennessee Titans. Again, another game we don't know if it's going to happen. And is this, I would imagine this is not on your card.
This is the game we think is the least likely, or the most likely, I should say, to not get played, would be the Buffalo-Tennessee game. A lot of positive tests coming out of Tennessee. I know they had their game last week postponed. We don't have a bet. We don't have betting on this game. We never did. And we don't have it on the Super Contest card. We're hoping it gets played, obviously. But at this point, not very confident about the Bills and the Titans playing this Sunday. Just seems like too many negative reports coming out of the Titans camp.
Love it. Love it. In terms of just like how you guys are handling things and all that, it's just a fluid process and you got to adjust. All right. This fascinates me. This one fascinates me. Jets at home to Arizona. So there was speculation that Darnold would be out and that Joe Flacco would get the start. And then Darnold was in fact ruled out yesterday with a shoulder injury he sustained last Thursday. So 6.5 to 7, but sometimes you can't operate in a vacuum. That's not just quarterback injury. I'm surprised this hasn't moved more, and I think we might see it between now and kickoff because you're seeing the juice on 7 get up to minus 20. It was flat yesterday, and it was 6.5 before that. So I guess just why don't you have Darnold higher power rating or significantly higher power rated than Sam Darnold or over Joe Flacco, excuse me.
I mean, I know what you're saying. Yeah, the market really hasn't reacted too much to the quarterback change. Obviously, everybody's betting on Arizona. It's our most lopsided take account of the week. And I think you might be right. I think there's a chance that you'll see this number go higher. But this Jets franchise is such a mess right now. The market is basically saying it doesn't even matter who the quarterback is for New York.
Are they the worst team?
I think you'd have to say right now they are the worst team in the NFL, especially as long as Adam Gase is the coach there. The whole organization is just a mess right now.
So there's a prop. I believe it's DraftKings. Is like, will the Jets go 0-16? There's a yes, no. And will the Giants go 0-16? Yes, no. Schedule's harder for the Giants, but they do play Washington twice. Jets don't exactly have a walk in the park. I think it's certainly on the table for both teams. I really do.
It's just hard to go 0-16. I mean, they find a way to win one game at some point, especially the Giants getting to play Washington two times. But I know that the Jets are just
we said this last year with the Dolphins who were tanking and all that, and I'm trying to remember, but I'm sure I was like, oh, it's possible. And then they went over their win total, won five games. I think it's different. Yeah. They don't have like a coach like Flores. I think they're kind of defeated in the Jets. And maybe with Darnold, and I do think Daniel Jones is okay. I just think the schedule's really tough. So I think it's on the table. I wouldn't bet the no.
The best thing that could happen for the Jets right now is they do bottom out. They get the first overall pick. They've got the number one pick. They've got Darnold. They've got the Seattle pick that they got in the Jamal Adams trade. Give them some assets and then get a real coach. I mean, the best thing that could happen to the Jets is to bottom out. But I would certainly expect them to pick up a win or two at some point before the season ends.
So Arizona's lost back-to-back games. Do you think you're going to be liable on this game with Cardinals not looking great lately?
I think that the loss to Carolina has scared some people off because last week people were – well, no, the week before, actually, was at the Detroit game. Yeah. That was when everybody was betting Arizona like we were giving the house away. But, you know, in retrospect, they really just stole a win over the 49ers, and then they beat Washington, who's terrible. So people might have overreacted a little bit to the first 2 weeks for Arizona. I like Arizona, but people might have crowned them a little too soon, but no one's going to bet on the Jets. So we'll certainly need the Jets big here.
I mean, it's obviously teaser money is going to be in play. I was on Arizona last week. I thought this would be a really nice measuring stick game, and they just couldn't tackle. They were pathetic. So I think Kyler Murray's still really good. I think Hopkins is great, obviously. Yeah. I think teasers are good. I don't think Flacco can do anything. I really don't. He's a statue. But, you know, teams don't go 0-16.
Carolina's a well-coached team. You know, Carolina's a well-coached team. Don't overreact too much to Arizona losing at Carolina. That's a team with that coaching staff. They'll probably get better as the season goes.
For sure.
I really like Rule and Brady. And it shouldn't be that shocking to people that they're winning games without McCaffrey because, like we always talk about on this show, running backs just don't really matter that much.
I know. It is nuts. It is nuts.
It just doesn't really matter that much. Even a great player. I'm not knocking. I don't want it to sound like I'm knocking McCaffrey. McCaffrey's awesome. I'm just saying that the position just doesn't matter that much in terms of point spreads and wins and losses. That has been proven over the last few years.
Nope. You're right. 2-0 without him, 2-0-2 with him. Obviously, the opponents factor into that. So, Keystone State battle, and this is interesting because the Eagles pulled one out thanks to Nick Mullins just being terrible. I mean, he was awful. And I'm really mad because I have the Niners to make the playoffs, and I really needed that. And I needed that in the teaser for my chalk play. But the Eagles get the win. Carson Wentz made some nice plays. And here we are, Steelers off of, you know, unwanted bye, laying 7 at Heinz Field. I think the Steelers team is like in the futures market. I mean, they're what, like 14-1 to win it? I mean, I don't think they're getting a ton of respect for a team that's looked pretty solid.
Yeah, one of the problems if you're looking to bet on these other AFC teams like the Steelers, like the Bills, in theory, you might have to go through Kansas City and Baltimore to get to the Super Bowl. And then especially in the Steelers' case, they would have to beat out Baltimore in the division to not have to play 3 road games. It's hard to get good value in an NFL futures bet. If your team doesn't win its division, then they've got to go on the road all 3 weeks. It'd be really tough for you to get good value. Now, of course, they could win the division, and then you'd be in good shape on Pittsburgh. This number's come down a little bit from 8.5 to 7. People are betting on the Steelers. They're teasing them to the Cardinals, to the Rams. We're certainly going to need Philadelphia pretty big here, but the numbers come down a little bit off of Philadelphia winning that game. Maybe you think it was just because Nick Mullins gifted them the game. I'm not going to argue with that, but a little bit more respect being shown to the Eagles this week.
And going back to the playoff thing, remember there's only one bye in each conference. So when you have Kansas City, that's what you brought up. You might have to go through Baltimore and Kansas City in that regard. So, yeah, that's kind of like the baseball playoffs, right? The Dodgers had pretty decent long value because they had to win 3 series, including a best of 3, just like an extra round combined win probability. So I'm fascinated to see how the Steelers come out because they come out a little sluggish against the Texans, and they got there and actually got the cover thanks to a 2-point conversion from the line earlier in the week that week. But we'll see about Philly, the first place Philadelphia Eagles, that is. Ravens, Lamar Jackson not practicing today or yesterday, according to Schefter. They're saying it's not serious, not cause for concern. But I think the point spread's going to change with a guy like Lamar Jackson, one of the most valuable to a point spread, RG3, the backup. So similar style offense, but obviously not the same without LJ.
Yeah, we fully expect Lamar Jackson to play. The betting's off the board pretty much everywhere right now just because of him missing practice, like you mentioned. But we've got a line on the Super Contest. We've got Baltimore 12.5 for the Super Contest. And we think that when it comes out that he is playing, we'll reopen this game. 12.5, 13. I will say this, though. I think the Bengals are frisky. And I like Joe Burrow a lot. Cincinnati, probably better than people realize. Jacksonville was probably, talking about week 4, Jacksonville was probably the side we saw the most sharp guys betting. And they knocked that number down from Jacksonville +3 to Jacksonville +1. And then, obviously, the Bengals had a relatively easy time with that game. So Bengals are a little bit more dangerous than people realize. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Jags kind of stink. I think they're one injury to, like, Shark or someone, like, away from just being, like, atrocious.
Well, Jacksonville might just be who we thought they were at the beginning of the year. If you go back to week 1, the Colts gave away that game. Phillip Rivers gave that game away to Jacksonville. The Colts really should be 4-0, and Jacksonville should be 0-4. Just some goofy plays there in the fourth quarter gave that game away to the Jaguars.
It's a big number for the Niners, who have not looked good. Kittle's back looks fantastic. It's a big number, though. Dolphins at San Francisco, 9.
It is a big number, especially when you talk about how banged up San Francisco is. The 49ers are probably, what would you say, the second most banged up team in the league behind Denver.
Yeah, and I
can tell you the bettors here at the Westgate are taking a cautious approach here. Very little action on this game. The game was off the board for a while, so that's a little unfair. But even now that the game is on the board, Niners minus 9, total 49.5. There's not a whole lot of money being bet on this game. People are taking a wait and see.
Who's quarterbacking?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo is listed as questionable.
Okay. If it's not, is it going to be Mullins or is it going to be?
How could you go back to Mullins?
Can't.
I mean, you might see the 49ers hand forced here, where they've got to rush Jimmy G back in there. They can't afford to fall too much further behind Seattle. Seattle's a favorite on Sunday night against the Vikings this week. How many more games can they drop to this behind the Seahawks and still have a good chance to win this division? And like we talked about earlier, you don't win your division, you're looking at 3 road games. And that's a tough hill to climb.
How about my Dolphins team total, 23.5 last week? You get 6 scores from the Dolphins and can't get to 24.
The classic kicking is for losers moment. I mean, the Dolphins, and I like Brian Flores. I like Brian Flores a lot. I thought he did as good of a job as you could have possibly done last year with that Miami team. Probably too good of a job. Probably cost them the draft picks they wanted. But he kicked 5 consecutive field goals, man. You can't do that. You can't do that. We needed Miami huge in that game. Seattle was one of our biggest liabilities of the week. We're keeping an eye on that game. Ed Sammons and I just shaking our heads in the back room at these guys kicking all these field goals. We knew what was going to happen. We knew Seattle was going to win.
Except for maybe the last one. I didn't hate the decisions. It's just like you got to convert. You get to the red zone, and it's just like the defense isn't good enough to bend but don't break. That's not their style. They just got lucky, and it was frustrating. I was really upset.
Not against Russell Wilson. And I think your handicap was good. Your handicap was the Seahawks defense sucks, right? And it does. And case in point, Miami had 6 scores. They just needed to cash some more of those in for touchdowns.
Well, yeah, and I'd rather have done the team total because I didn't trust Miami's D against Russell Wilson. I think there was a better chance. Now, I just basically was saying there was a better chance of losing like 38-28 than there was 17-13. Like, that was sort of like my logic of doing the team total. And, you know, kind of landed right – everything landed right on the number, essentially. So,
I got it.
That was kind of fun.
I get it.
Okay, so we are already in the afternoon games. The next one, Dallas laying a big number to the Giants.
Yeah, and I think it just speaks to the talent level of the Cowboys. You know, last week they were about a 4.5-point favorite against Cleveland. Everybody was betting Dallas like crazy. They got crushed by Cleveland. I know they came back at the end, but Cleveland won that game pretty decisively. Now you go the next week. Dallas should be 0-4 if somebody on the Falcons knew how to recover an onside kick or knew the onside kick rules. Dallas will be 0-4 right now. They're laying 9.5 points, and everybody's betting on them again. Dallas looks like it's going to be one of our biggest liabilities of the week in the NFL. Cowboys, very popular side in the afternoon.
I mean, it's crazy. But – I mean, the Giants are there if I want them, so I can say it's crazy. But Dallas is 0-4 ATS.
I will say this. It's come down. Like, our look-ahead number on this game was 12. We've adjusted it down to 9.5 just because Dallas has looked so bad. But we are aware that the talent level is there with the Cowboys. That's a very, very good roster. We'll see if the brain trust on the coaching staff there in Dallas can get anything out of it.
Yeah, a lot of brains. A lot of brains.
Oh, yeah. Real geniuses.
This is a fascinating game. Indy-Cleveland. Indy's a road favorite here at Cleveland. Browns, nice win, all things considered, against the lowly Cowboys defense. By the way, the Cowboys have only led, I think the stat is 7 minutes this year. They've been trailing like in every game, or like buzzer beater, field goal game winner. I mean, they've been a horrendous starter. So, Cleveland, I don't know what to make of this team. I mean, give them credit, they are 3-1. The Colts, you kind of almost need to throw out the opening loss, allowing Jacksonville to come back. I don't know, man. This could be a really good game for both teams.
Indianapolis is very solid defensively, and you're seeing their offensive line starting to gel. Phillip Rivers' problem when he was with the Chargers is he's a statue, and they didn't block for him. Rivers can be effective. He has to have a great offensive line, and I think he has that in Indianapolis. Such a good group up front if they stay healthy. There's going to be a lot of two-way action in this game. Cleveland could be a good teaser option. It sounds funny, but 46 is actually kind of a low total in modern NFL football. And with Cleveland as a +1.5-point underdog, you can do a six-pointer and get it up through seven. And you can take the Browns +7.5 with a, we'll call it a low total, air quotes, because 46, I think it's the second lowest total or third lowest total on the board for Sunday, which is ridiculous, but that's the world we live in now.
I don't typically do the tease up game. I think Seattle is a team you can do that to, even though they're so good. They just play one score games all the time. But if they're, you know, like last week, it would have been a nice teaser up, but more so when they're laying like 2.5 on the road and you tease them up kind of thing. But I just think I feel more comfortable taking the 7.5 down to 1.
Yeah, I can see that. I always look at the lower totals as the good options there. But I know where you're coming from. And this is a real toss-up game, right? It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be a good litmus test for both of these teams. I think the Colts are good, but we're going to learn a lot about them on Sunday. It just all depends on Rivers. If he makes some bonehead throws, turns the ball over, got to like Cleveland's chances there. But Baker Mayfield is more than capable of giving away the ball as well. So it'll probably just come down to which quarterback gives the ball away.
Well said in that game. All right, Sunday night, we got Kirk Cousins in prime time. Now, I will say he's horrendous in Monday Night Football. I think he's like 0-9 ATS and straight up. Sunday night's not as bad, but when you combine them, he's 6-15-1 ATS in prime time. He's done okay in Sunday, and Russell Wilson's been awesome in prime time. I said at the beginning of the year when I wanted to make a case for Cousins 50-1 to win the MVP that he would be kind of comfortable in these positions. Cause I thought the Vikings would be loaded and they kind of were on offense at times, but their defense was so banged up. I think you're going to have a lot of teasers on Seattle moneyline parlays.
Oh, there's no question. The moneyline parlay liability is already building up on Seattle. And we're recording this on Thursday morning in Las Vegas. This was a Monday night game last year. I think it was like Minnesota +3. Maybe at Seattle on a Monday night, and everybody, all the wise guys were all over the Vikings, and then they got absolutely killed by the Seahawks. Kirk Cousins can't play on Monday night. I don't know if that's going to translate here. We'll need the Vikings in this game. We'll need the Vikings to at least keep it close. If they could somehow win outright, well, that would be great.
The problem is, you know, it's like, would you rather take a teaser that a team like the Jets won't win, or that the Vikings, who have like weapons, won't win? Obviously it's different with Arizona and Seattle. It's just, you know what I'm saying though? Like, that's a lot of points for a Vikings offense, at least on paper, that's quality.
Yeah. No, it is a lot of points, but the thought process, I believe, is the Vikings are not going to be able to stop Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson.
And no, they won't. No, they will not.
I can't disagree with that, because I don't think anybody can stop Russell Wilson right now. The guy is playing out of his mind.
As I said yesterday on the show, they're letting him cook, but the defense is getting cooked. Chargers,
yes, they are.
The Chargers at the Saints. I'm down on the Saints, but it was a nice comeback win last week, down 14-0. So good for them. Getting Michael Thomas back. Obviously, a lot of things trending in the right direction. Justin Herbert, though, has looked much better than I thought. And 7.5 feels like the right number. I think this, like Sunday night, I think I'm on the dog here Monday night.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm going to just walk back all my Justin Herbert predictions. Like, I didn't think he was going to be good at all in the NFL. I was shocked when the Chargers used a top 10 pick on him, and I made fun of them. And that doesn't look like that looks like a bad prediction, Doug. I think I'm just going to get off of it now and just become a Justin Herbert guy.
Let's pump the brakes. I think there's been some guys over the years who've looked really good out of the gates. Get some film, and maybe they're not as amazing as we think.
I like Herbert. You're right, though. This game is going to be the books needing the Chargers to at least cover. We'd like to see him win. Look, if we can't get Washington football team or the Jets or the Eagles or the Vikings or the Chargers to win, but we don't get any of those five, we're going to get buried on teasers. And if those other four teams I mentioned all win Sunday, you know what that's going to mean for Monday Night Football. The books are going to need the Chargers huge.
How bad is Washington's injuries right now on defense?
They're bad, and their offense doesn't need to get injured to be terrible. So that's when you run into a problem. Yeah, Washington's banged up on the defensive side of the ball. They got some key guys. Obviously, Chase Young is the biggest name, but they got a number of guys.
I think they could win that game, but they got to be healthy, though.
Well, they beat Philadelphia week one because Philadelphia had four of their five offensive line starters hurt by the end of the game, and the Washington front line just feasted on those guys. Of course, if they get into a situation like that where they're playing a team with a banged-up O-line or a bad O-line, you've got to think Washington's defensive line can have a field day. That's going to be the formula they're going to need because they're not going to score many points on offense.
That's well said. Well said. Good point. All right, buddy. Should we get time, bonanza time?
Yeah, sure.
Hit it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, Mr. Director, I am taping this at home and do not have my notes in front of me, but I did hit the $2,000 teaser. Thankfully, it was with the Packers and Bucks and not the Eagles. I did the Eagles for the chalk column, but I lost everything else. So I lost money. I wrote it down on the sheets at my desk. I didn't bring it home. So I lost money. I'm down. I got to go do the math and all that. But I did win the big one. So I lost the $2,000. I lost the $1,500 one. I think that was the team total. I'm not sure on Miami. But more importantly, you took another L, my friend. Are we going to get – is that the one you gave to Mr. Musburger?
No. I don't remember what we gave Musburger last week. Oh, no. They gave him the Lions. That was an interesting game.
It was a good sharp
because
play.
Michael Thomas was ruled out, and then the line crashed. All the sharp guys were betting the Lions, and then they got up 14-0, and then they stopped playing. So I guess it's never a sharp play if you put your money on Matt Patricia. You don't want to do that. That's not a good idea. No, I liked New England last week. We must have taped the show before Cam Newton news came
absolutely.
Out, though, right?
Yeah, we absolutely did.
I did like New England with Cam Newton because I thought it was a tough spot for Kansas City off that Baltimore win. Obviously, without Cam Newton in there, it's a very different game.
All right, sir. So we got to put you in the – do I gratuitously give you the tee box here, or what do we do?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll play the Bears because I know the team here at the Westgate is booking it to need the Bears, so that's enough for me. Are the rules anywhere in Nevada? Because I see a Rogue 4 out there at the Peppermill in Reno, or is that to be an in-town?
I think we said Vegas. I think we said Vegas.
We did say. I think we did too. But I see 3.5 flat at South Point and at Stations, so that should be fair. And I'll take Chicago plus 3.5 minus 110, and I'll just do that for 550.
Okay. Interesting. So my question for you is: you guys jacked up your juice on teasers. You're minus -140, huh?
That was years ago. Right. We were really getting beat up on teasers, wise guy teasers through the 3 and the 7. We made that decision. I want to say it might have been 6 or 7 years ago. Feels like it was a long time ago. I'm getting old though, so the years kind of run together. But it was a while.
I was a young pup when you guys were the Las Vegas Hilton. You guys had minus 110 at one point. I used to love it. So it went to 120.
So did many. So did many others, believe me. Our bottom line didn't love it too much.
Anybody in town at minus 120 for these teasers? Because I know there's some offshore minus 110 still out there.
I think there is I think there's minus 120 six pointers, I think. I wouldn't bet my life on it.
But and then $1.30.
For the purposes of the show, we can give you a six pointer at minus 120.
Let's do an Arizona money. I want to do a money line parlay. Same concept. I just need to win money line parlay with Arizona and Pittsburgh. I'm going to Fade the Eagles. Not that impressed. I do like the Steelers team. I think they're going to be fresh, and we'll roll with them. That's going to be for a dime. Do you have any other plays?
No, I'm good. I don't like anything on Sunday. If something comes up, I'll slide into your DMs.
Yeah. All right. I do have one other play. I'm going to take the Panthers +2. Not the ideal line. I'll take the Panthers +2 for a nickel. I think they get the win outright.
It's never a bad idea to bet against Dan Quinn. That should be a slogan somewhere. Like if you're putting your money against Dan Quinn, you're probably on the right track.
unless you're facing the Cowboys. All right, sir. Great stuff as always. That's all I got. Anything else to add other than go LeBron?
Well, good luck to you. You know, good luck to you, because I know you're a huge Lakers fan, and I made some jokes. I was one of those guys that thought LeBron was going out to L.A. to, like, for the lifestyle, maybe for his movie studio, whatever it is. I didn't really think he could win a championship out there. And, you know, all those years we heard about how he couldn't win in the Western Conference, and now it looks like he's going to win an NBA championship in his first full season of Western Conference. So that narrative didn't turn out too well, but I'll be happy for my buddies that are big Laker fans probably tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate that. It's exciting. I was definitely not optimistic as well. I just didn't trust management. Obviously, getting rid of Jim Buss was a huge step in the right direction a few years ago. I'm happy, but I'm focused on the baseball playoffs more so. So it's kind of hard. I'm just like getting torn in a lot of directions. And I will say, Murray, I didn't really appreciate your tweet last night.
It's a little bit of a Kershaw one. Give me a little joy in my life. I don't have a Nationals postseason to watch. I mean, give me a little bit of a fun time. It did take me back a little bit though when I saw Kershaw give up those two home runs. It took me back because, you know, Juan Soto just hit that moon shot in game 5. That was a fun time. And hopefully someday soon we'll – I want another baseball playoffs where we can have fans at the game so I can go back to that, because that was a lot of fun last year.
Kershaw giving up back-to-back dingers in the NLDS. Sad.
I know. And you know what? Let me tell you this. Here at the Westgate, we'll take anybody winning the World Series as long as it's not the Miami Marlins.
Really?
So we'll be Dodgers fans in the next round. If Miami somehow rips off 3 straight wins over the Braves, we'll be big Dodger fans here at the Westgate.
It is funny you mentioned the fans. I was thinking that last night, how cool it would have been for that Stanton bomb a couple of days ago and some of the other home runs, like the Tatis comeback.
The Tatis 3-run homer against the Cardinals. That stadium would have been just going crazy.
Machado goes, the next batter goes yard. I just – there are some things, and even the fireworks last night between the Dodgers and Padres after the Bellinger home run robbery would have been awesome. So,
we'll take what we can get. San Diego's a fun team. Yeah. Hopefully someday soon we can go to Petco Park, sneak down to San Diego, go to a playoff game there maybe next year. That'd be fun.
I like the sound of it, my friend. Until then, we'll just have to be relegated to podcasts, and that's okay because we'll take what we can get right now. Get through with television games. All right, buddy. Thanks again, as always.
I'll talk to you next week, man.
Kicking is for losers.
All right, so thanks to John Murray. Thanks to Matthew and Lou and Paul for yesterday's podcast. And thanks to all of you for downloading, rating, reviewing, subscribing. A lot of good content here. And that's going to do it. So I know we're posting a little later in the day, but that's just the schedules for Murray and myself. But, you know, we'll be back next week. So enjoy the football this weekend and touch base next week.